You've been staring at your computer screen for so long, you can see your presentations, spreadsheets, and documents when you close your burning eyes. These tasks take forever. You know there's a better way, but how? You want to improve your presence in meetings, but how? Stop working so many hours. Become the authority for reporting at work. Fix work problems before they happen. This is the Business Intelligence Podcast. Plug into the Business Intelligence Reporting Community at www.getreporthelp.com. You're not alone. And yes, you need help.
So I was talking with a coworker the other day, and he had this amazing saying that just stuck with me. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is so true. He said, everything we do is very doable when you break it down. Because there's nothing in business that we do that is so complex that we will not be able to figure it out. You just break it down to the steps and just do it. And I thought, that is so appropriate for so many other things, not just in business. But what I realized was it still requires three things for me to do. First part is you really just have to have the guts to do it. And I think this is where people have that hesitation. Like, I don't want to step outside of my little comfort zone. I don't want to take on this new project because I don't know how to do it. Or I have this hesitation because I haven't actually accomplished this particular thing. We are actually the ones holding ourselves back more often than not. Because when you take these things and you look at them, everything is very doable. So the first part is you really should just have the guts to do it. Just try it. Even if you don't know how to do it, just sign on and you can figure it out. Just take it step by step. The second piece that I want to add on this is more often than not, what I've found is that there's a vast majority of people that just don't follow through, literally just don't complete whatever it is they start. So, you know, if you're going to take on something, just follow through, just do it, you know, and get it done. It's amazing how simple that is, but how rare it is. When I've worked with other people and had them try and get things done, I'm amazed at how many of them will just not get it done. And, you know, it's just follow through. You know, it's part of, in the Zen context, people call this mindfulness. You know, it's the be here and the here and now and focusing on what it is that's in front of you. And those tasks are there. So you can accomplish those tasks. You just have to show up, be there, and do it. You know, that follow through is the piece that separates you from the majority of people. So I think of it in terms that there are, say, 100 people that have an interest in something. You know, only 10 of them will actually have the guts to follow, to step up to the plate. Right? And of those 10 people, only 3 or 4 of them have any sort of follow through. So, you know, even if this task at work or this project that you want to be a part of, or you're thinking about going to college or, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's amazing. You just have the guts. Step up, be mindful, be there, and follow through. You know, that's very doable.
And now, the feature segment.
So the term I want to discuss is arbitrage. Isn't that a great term, arbitrage? I mean, it's just so, like, fancy and almost French-sounding or something. But the term arbitrage can be used in several different ways. I mean, there's definitely an economic arbitrage, and there's an academic arbitrage, and then there's the reality of what arbitrage is. So it's a fun word. It's a great concept. And I think it's something, you know, you can bust that out in the office all the time. And you're like, well, you know, it's an arbitrage situation. And, you know, we can do it this way. Or but let me get to the definition here. So one definition of arbitrage is taking advantage of a price difference between two or more markets. Okay, so this is more on the economic term. So you're taking advantage of a difference in price in two different markets. Now, an easy example of this is when we're looking at something like outsourcing. You know, the dollars per hour for whatever task I'm doing, if I look at that task and try and have it done in another location, in another country where their currency is different, I can probably get it cheaper or more expensive depending on which country I go to. So it's a classic arbitrage situation where you are taking advantage of a price difference between two or more markets, in this case, the two different countries. So if I wanted to, pay a writer to write an article for me, you know, in the U.S. it would be this so much, and if I, you know, ask for this to be done in some other country, the same article, same deal, because of the difference in currencies, can be much cheaper. And so it's that case of arbitrage. Now, we usually think of this outsourcing in a negative context because of how we have experienced that, where, you know, call center activities or other things have been outsourced to other countries. But it's because of this arbitrage factor that has happened. So that's one definition of arbitrage. Now, another way you might think about it is striking a combination of matching deals that capitalize upon the imbalance between them. Now, that sounds really kind of really strange when you kind of lay it out like that. But really, you're matching these deals in ways that you can see these obvious imbalances. Now, this is where you see a lot of the economic articles, and even if you take economic classes, they'll talk about this in this arbitrage format here. And the classic example is in doing exchange rates. So if I take a dollar here and I convert it into yen, then I get a certain amount. But then if I take that yen and I convert it into euros, then it goes to a certain amount. And then if I bring those euros back to dollars, somewhere in between all of these exchanges, there's an imbalance. So it's not perfect, and I may end up, after all of those conversions, coming back to the U.S. dollar with a dollar and 10 cents, you know, or 90 cents if it's a negative arbitrage thing. But those exchange rates, really what you're doing is you're finding this imbalance, and you're capitalizing upon that by doing some combination of matching transactions. In this case, currency from one into currency of another, and so you kind of move these around. You see how that's arbitrage. That's it's classic finding that imbalance and then capitalizing on it. Now, another way you could think about it, though, is that in some senses, you know, arbitrage is really like a transaction that involves no negative cash flow and results in a positive cash flow. So possibly a risk-free profit at zero cost. I mean, really what we're saying here is you're buying something and, you know, your risk is nothing, but your benefit is something. And so it's kind of like a guaranteed win, if you will. Easy examples of this. So if you're driving on the freeway and you see an open lane to the left, you know, if you quickly jump over to that lane, you know, it hasn't cost you anything. And, you know, if traffic stays the same, then you'd be fine. But there's a chance that you'll actually, you know, wind up further in traffic by, you know, making these quick shifts and changes. That is arbitrage.
And now the actionable information you've desperately needed.
So I cannot tell you how many times it has driven me nuts when you sit down and have a sales guy do a presentation and they put up a PowerPoint slide with a bunch of numbers. Oh, just death by PowerPoint slides. Everybody knows it. You just go, why even bother doing this? You're driving me nuts. You know, turn it into a chart. And it's not hard to do, you know, but I've finally gotten to a point now where I'm training sales guys to say, look, you need slides, I will hook you up with slides, you know, and, you know, we'll get it done, and we'll get it done right. But that getting it done right piece is the part that, you know, look, any chart is better than just a bunch of numbers on the screen, because if I'm getting a bunch of numbers, send it to me in an email, send it, you know, print it out and give it to somebody. You know, they don't need to be projected in that way. PowerPoint is for visualizing what's going on. And so in the context of that, I wrote an article and I wanted to share it with you guys about how to chart data. I call it a chart challenge, and there's some steps to it. So I wanted to at least cover those steps so that you can realize that there are three pieces to making a good chart. And if you follow these, guaranteed your charts will be much better than anything you've had before. And they're simple steps, but you just go through them one by one and you follow through, and it makes a big difference. So the first one is that you need to look at the data and the pattern. Okay, you're looking for a pattern in that data. Okay, if I get a bunch of numbers, you know, that indicate sales over a certain period of time, I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to look at the numbers, and I'm going to see if there's a pattern there. Are things going up or down? Are they dipping? You know, what's the lowest one? What's the highest one? You just look at that data and see where the trend is. This alone tells you exactly what you're going to do with your chart, how you're going to put that together. So, but you have to just understand that. And so, first of all, you just look for that pattern. Once you have that, then you choose a chart style. Okay? And I've got some very clear kind of guidelines that I suggest. You know, if it's one set of data, you know, it's great for pie charts, but you don't do, you know, five pie charts on a slide. It doesn't work. People tune it out. You know, if it's a pie chart, you only do, you know, maximum of three or something. So it's those kind of details that you look at. But I've got some very clear guidelines, and I'd suggest you look at that so that you get an idea about how to choose the right chart for whatever your data is that you're going to present. There's also some kind of tricks that you can do when you're looking at year-to-date stuff. And, you know, you're not through the year, or you're halfway through the year. So there are ways that you can address that. But you look at the data, you look for that pattern. Once you do that, then you choose your chart. The last step is really to look at that chart and remove as much clutter as you possibly can. So if you don't need it, if it doesn't tell the story very clearly, you get rid of it. Okay? If your header on your chart is so long that you have to decrease the font size, you have not set it succinctly. Okay? You can remove a large amount of the clutter out of that chart. And as a matter of fact, I would say less is more. The more you can remove out of that chart, the better it is. Because what happens is when somebody presents in PowerPoint, and they are standing up there and they are giving people the information, the chart is supposed to add to that. And so the less that's on that chart, the better, because people need to get it in 5 to 10 seconds. And if they don't, they will tune out the presenter and they will stare at the chart and they'll go, wait a second, why is there a second line? What? Okay, I don't know. Okay, wait, let's look at that legend and figure out what piece is going to which line and how many colors, and I've got 12 on there. And they're completely blocking out what the presenter has said. So the less is on that chart, the better it is. You want your chart to have a very clear focus, a clear information, and, you know, tell the story. It's got to tell the story. And you do that by removing as much clutter out of that chart as possible. So if you want to look at that in more detail, go to the website. I've got a chart challenge. I've got videos out there, and I've also got an article where I lay the stuff out. So if you haven't done charting before, this is a great guideline for you to get started.
You've been listening to the Business Intelligence Podcast. Plug into the Business Intelligence Reporting Community at www.getreporthelp.com. Go right now to the website. Design reports that amaze your boss and coworkers. Dominate spreadsheet tasks. Get information you can use right now. Go now to www.getreporthealth.com and get a free video, 3 formulas everyone should know.